Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Hamza Foy, the Hia 502 podcast. Before the episode begins, I want to thank everybody for taking the time to tune in, listen in, and visit us on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. Part of Hia 502 is also sharing pertinent and useful information, news about upcoming events. And for that purpose, we maintain an email newsletter and a WhatsApp group where all of this information is shared. If you are interested in either the newsletter or the WhatsApp group, you'll find ways to subscribe on this episode and the future episodes in the month of April. And now we return to this episode of Ihya 502. Assalamu alaikum. I am here with sisters Amanda Brown and Amina Ikram. Both are in the field of mental health. I want them to introduce themselves, kind of talk a little bit about their education and where they're at in this field. Amanda, if you can start.
Okay. My name is Amanda Brown. Thank you so much for having me on, Hamza. I appreciate it. I am a licensed professional counselor associate here in Louisville, Kentucky. I have a master's degree in education with a focus on counseling. And I specialize in trauma therapy. I do a technique called EMDR, which is works trauma-focused therapy. But I also do general counseling. I do counseling for individuals, for couples, marriage counseling, things of that nature.
All right. And then what about you, Amina Ikram?
Hey, assalamu alaikum, everyone. Thanks, Hamza, for having me on here. So, yes, my name is Amina Ikram. I am a fourth-year doctoral student in Spalding University's PsyD program. It's a full doctoral program, meaning I got my master's halfway through. So I have my master's of arts in clinical psychology, and I have one more year of school plus one internship residency year, and then I will have a PsyD, which basically means that I will be a clinical psychologist. And before this, I was at the University of Louisville for undergrad, and I came straight into Spalding PsyD program from undergrad. Currently, I'm doing a lot of different practicum. I've had a lot of different practicum experiences throughout my doctoral program. So some of you all may have seen me around. I was at the Center for Behavioral Health, where I did assessment, psychological assessment. And then I was at Strong Minds, which is a private practice in the East End, doing psychological assessment. Last year, I was the full-time counselor at Noor Islamic School, doing both psychological assessment, but full-time therapy. And currently, I am doing full-time therapy and assessment at Bellarmine University. And I'm also working part-time at both Noor Islamic School doing therapy and Islamic School of Louisville doing therapy. So that's a little bit about me.
Awesome. So, you know, especially for the lay population, I mean, obviously, the field of psychology, the field of, you know, what's termed mental health, obviously, this has a long history. But it's entered kind of into the public imagination in recent years. And we typically hear these terms used. And I know for a number of us, it's kind of confusing. So we hear therapist, we hear counselor, we hear psychiatrist, we hear psychologist. If you guys can you dive into, help people make sense, like what are the differences, like where are they in this mental health field? What are their different roles and responsibilities? If you can, please.
Sure, I can touch a little bit on that. And then Amanda, please definitely chime in. So yes, the word counselor is a very layman generic term. There can be a counselor in multiple fields. But when we think about a counselor, that is somebody who essentially in the mental health field provides counseling services, therapy services, mental health, you know, talk therapy is what you think of when you hear a counselor. Most people use the term counselor more in like schooling systems. So you'll hear a school counselor, and you'll also hear a school therapist. Those are very interchangeable. Again, there can be multiple kinds of therapists as well. You've probably heard physical therapists, rehabilitation therapists, but in the mental health field, counselor and therapist are both generic terms for people who do talk therapy, you know, processing stuff with clients. And so those are kind of layman terms. In the state of Kentucky, there's many ways to become a counselor or a therapist. You'll see people go through psychology master's programs. You'll see people go through social work programs, community mental health programs, and they will get this term therapist or counselor. So for example, you may have heard of the term LMFT. That's a licensed marriage and family therapist. Then you may hear somebody else be called an LPCC, licensed professional clinical counselor. So a lot of times it also depends what type of program you go to. And like I said, in the state of Kentucky, you can become a counselor and or therapist in multiple ways. And really what they'll call themselves, the professional in the field, depends on what the letters are behind their name. So it really kind of is an indicator of what kind of program you went to. Going into psychiatrist versus psychologist is an interesting topic because for people like Amanda and I in the field, the difference seems like a no-brainer, but to a lot of people, it's not a no-brainer. So a psychiatrist is a person who does not do any traditional talk therapy. So if you need help with processing a death, grief therapy, or you're experiencing depression, you want to process that. If you're having marital problems and you want to talk about those issues, a psychiatrist is not going to help you there. A psychiatrist is a person who has the letters MD at the end of their name, meaning they went to a proper medical school. So they're part of the medical model. And they prescribe medications, and that's about all they do. They can be in university hospital settings, psychiatric inpatient settings, or they can have private practice. And they will talk to you a little bit at the beginning to see what your presenting problems are, but they're not doing traditional therapy. And actually, most psychiatrists, if they see that the person really needs to have some talk therapy, they will refer them out to somebody who's either a master's level or a doctoral level therapist. So that's the biggest thing with the psychiatrist. It's that they are prescribing medication. So when you go to like, especially psychiatric hospitals, you see more people that have schizophrenia. They may have bipolar disorder, borderline personality disorder. These are very, you know, big words that I'm using, but those are basically people who have mental health struggles that go a little bit beyond just basic depression and anxiety. And a lot of times those type of disorders need medication in adjunct, especially if somebody's in a psychiatric hospital, they need some medication. So you're dealing with a psychiatrist. What is a psychologist? Okay, this is an interesting thing because there's a couple ways to become a psychologist. You could go to a program like mine and get a PsyD, which is a doctoral degree in clinical psychology, which is more of the clinical route. PsyD means that the person who's becoming a psychologist is going to more so do therapy and psychological assessment services. What is that? When a person is wondering, does my child have ADHD? Do they have a specific learning disorder? Do they have a mood disorder? Sometimes it's hard to tell. So a clinical psychologist will give them a full assessment battery to kind of determine what's going on here. What can we rule out? Does this person have ADHD? Or are we seeing more anxiety? Are we seeing a neurological issue here? So that's something that psychologists do that a lot of times master's level counselors or therapists do not do. But you can also be a psychologist and have a PhD in psychology or a counseling PhD, which is a counseling psychologist. Those people also do therapy. They have training in therapy. However, most of those people with PhD behind their names, they're much more likely to go into academia and research. So they're going to be doing research such as, what do attachment styles look like in orphanages in Norway? They'll be doing these type of studies. Or does such and such treatment, does it have efficacy with, you know, children with autism who are 5 years and up? You know, it's different stuff like that. They're doing research. They're doing developmental research. They're doing clinical research. But most people with PhD behind their name, you know that they can be in private practice and as working as just like other people with PsyD behind their name, but they're more academia focused. And I just want to highlight that somebody who is a clinical psychologist, would they have a PsyD behind their name and a PhD behind the name, at least know that in the state of Kentucky, they're not prescribing medication at all. So those people are solely providing therapy services, psychological assessment services, research. So if you need medication, you would go to a psychiatrist, and that's kind of about it for a psychiatrist. Yeah.
All right. So now that we kind of understand, you know, these different roles, how would somebody, you know, be referred to any one of these, you know, people, whether it's a therapist or counselor or psychologist or psychiatrist? What are the avenues by which people can, you know, visit them if, you know, a need arises, you know? Maybe you guys can kind of touch on that a little bit.
I guess I'll jump in here and join the conversation a little bit. Well, as Amina explained, you know, counselors and therapists are kind of like an interchangeable word, generic word for mental health. All these people are focused on treating and keeping people mentally well. So if you are a person who is suffering with some kind of mental illness or depression or anxiety or things of this nature, you could start off by talking to, looking for an actual counselor, therapist, as Amina explained, paying attention to like the letters and the name can help. Like, I'm looking for somebody who's going to do talk therapy with me. I would maybe look for a master level clinician or therapist or counselor. Like, again, those are both interchangeable generic names for people who work with their mental health. And like, for example, me, I work in a private practice and I am a licensed special counselor associate. So I deal with clients all the time who are dealing with anxiety and depression and various other types of mental health disorders. But for example, if I have a client who comes to me and they feel like they want to know specifically if my child has autism or something, for example, then I could refer them to a psychologist like Amina, she's a PsyD, so I could refer them to someone like her. And if I have a client who talk therapy I feel is not enough and they need medication, then I would refer them to a psychiatrist who can prescribe the medication. There's just so many various avenues to getting treatment for your mental health. So if you're a person who's looking for it, you can just generally Google, talk to your primary care physician. Especially here in Louisville, we refer clients to various different places. So it's very simple to reach out and to find therapy. You just have to, you know, I would say start with maybe your primary care physician, because I know I get a lot of referrals through that. Or you can actually also just Google and look for a mental health therapist. And there's so many different private practices here in Kentucky. That's where a good place to start to answer your question. And then that therapist can refer you to something more if you need medication or a certain kind of assessment.
Okay. I know that the number of, you know, Muslim mental health professionals, alhamdulillah, it seems like it's growing. I mean, I've been Muslim for like 13, 14 years. And when I was younger, I didn't really know anybody, but now, yeah, we've got you all, and I'm sure there's others. Do you guys, and I know this is, you know, just kind of, a random question, but do you guys compile like any lists of like Muslim mental health professionals and like disperse that in the community? Just because I know for some people it's more comforting if there's a mental health professional who's Muslim, who understands like their vernacular, you know, where they're coming from. Sometimes like, is the number of Muslim mental health professionals growing, or is it just kind of like this few guys and maybe one or two others? Or
the only other Muslim therapist I know in Louisville is Amina. Most people, I get lots of referrals from Muslims. Like a large percentage of my clients are Muslim. There's really not very many Muslim therapists here in in Louisville or Kentucky that I know of. There are other avenues to get therapy in other places, but I mean, you can chime in here if you know anybody else. But for me, I usually, I mean, I literally am a Muslim therapist, or I refer them to Amina when it's Islam specific.
Yeah, so I just wanted to add in a couple things. So first and foremost, I know I'm backtracking a tiny bit. Amanda talked about how you can Google search a lot of therapists. And yes, that is a good idea. You can ask your primary care physician. Another really good recommendation I have is a website called psychologytoday.com. This is an excellent resource because it narrows down therapists based on whatever you want. Race, ethnicity, religion, do they take my insurance? So if you say, I'm not paying out of pocket, I need someone who takes Humana, you can punch that in and it'll spit out a list of therapists in your area based on what you want. As Amanda said, I refer a lot of patients to Amanda. And the tricky thing about my situation is that because I'm still a practicum student in training, I cannot see people in the greater community like Amanda because Amanda's already established and in private practice. It is a very, very difficult situation for me that, you know, I feel sad sometimes that there's not a lot of Muslim therapists in Louisville, let alone Kentucky. I don't know another Muslim in this state that has, you know, Saidi behind their name, at least female, because I mean, I have more interaction with women anyway, so I don't know of a single person. I do know of another therapist in Southern Indiana. Her name is Akila Halim. She is another Muslim therapist, but aside from her and Amanda, that's kind of all we got here. A lot of times I like to refer people out to this organization called the Khalil Center. The Khalil Center has a hub in Chicago, Canada, California, and some of their, and it's a booming Muslim practice of a huge network of Muslim therapists. And the good thing about the Khalil Center is that there are some therapists that can see people in the state of Kentucky from the Chicago branch. So I do recommend sometimes patients check that out and see, do they have a long wait list? Absolutely. But, you know, it's another option. I think I talked a lot.
Also, let me just jump in real quick. Sorry, Amina. But also that's another limitation is that when you practice therapy, depending on your license, you can't practice outside of your state in most, in many cases. So that's why I keep saying, like, just me and Amina I know of, because even the therapist you just mentioned in Indiana, she may not be a C Kentucky resident, because you're only allowed to practice in the state unless you become licensed in another state. And so that's why there's a limitation here in Kentucky in particular. That's why I didn't mention the other, places you mentioned. Like, I mean, Psychology Day is a great resource, but like some places in other places, like I can't do therapy unless my client is in the same school, per my license. As a licensed professional counselor associate, I can't do therapy with a client who is not in the same state as me when I'm doing therapy with them. So it's really important to also put, but that's why I'm saying me and Amina and not like naming a bunch of other therapists. I know a lot of therapists, but in Kentucky, I don't know very many therapists. Muslim therapists.
Totally agree with what Amanda just said. I meant like, definitely, yes. Want to emphasize that for Psychology Today, because there's not a whole lot of Muslims, you can narrow down and see what other type of Muslims are available in your area based on other factors like insurance. Yes, and that is a great point, Amanda, because the Khalil Center, there are some therapists that are licensed in multiple states, which is why I recommend that practice. But yeah, if you find a Muslim therapist in Virginia, even via in the age of telehealth, our state borders are getting more strict. So they relaxed for a little bit during COVID. Like I know a lot of people, and there are a lot of therapists in Louisville that are also licensed in Indiana, but not everyone is. And so during COVID, that was a huge laxity. Like I know some therapists that had that laxity during COVID, but now that laxity is going to be up come May. So yes, we do have a scarcity of Muslim therapists in Kentucky in general, not just in Louisville and in Indiana as well. But Amanda and I kind of also talk about this thing where if you are experiencing mental health struggles to a clinically significant degree, talking to a non-Muslim is still better than not seeing anyone at all. And I know there's a lot of fears, like, especially when you talk to parents, like, if my Muslim child sees this, you know, Caucasian, American, westernized, secular therapist, they're going to brainwash my child or they're not going to understand. Good, you know, therapists, not all, but good, practice cultural humility, meaning they're not going to project their own agenda onto you or your child or your spouse or your friend. So really, if they're practicing, whether that's EMDR, CBT, ACT, what we'll talk about later, basic therapeutic skills, they still will be able to help you. Is it ideal? Absolutely not. But it's still much better to see a therapist if you are struggling than not seeing anyone at all just because you can't access a Muslim.
I think it's important to emphasize that, you know, whereas we have this scarcity, hopefully this encourages more Muslims to explore, you know, getting into the mental health field to, you know, kind of offset that scarcity. Okay, so let's kind of jump into these different approaches to therapy. I know that, you know, you talked a little bit about CBT. I just finished a book recently that talked about the cognitive behavioral therapy. Can you dive into that approach? And then, you know, we can kind of talk about the other approaches that you mentioned.
Yeah. So very like, you know, I'm just going to go very basic. CBT is cognitive behavioral therapy. It teaches us that our thoughts, behaviors, and emotions are all connected. So the way you think influences how you feel and influences your behavior. So the therapist likes to really dive deep into what the client is experiencing. So if you're having these negative thoughts about yourself, that's likely going to lead you into some behaviors that are not so great and make you feel not so great about yourself. So we kind of like go through that triangle and try to change people's patterns a little bit. Like, for example, if you have a thought that says, you know, like, I am terrible, I am a terrible student, kind of, you know, let's process that thought and alter a little bit and say, I struggle with math. And then figure out, okay, instead of calling myself I'm terrible and terrible at school, taking that thought of I struggle with math, and what can we do to get there and get you back into having some more positive encouragement about yourself, and how that will lead to your mood and your behaviors from there on out. This sounds really easy, but it takes some people a lot of time. And so this type of therapy is really good for people who are, in a layman's phrase, down in the dumps or feeling really depressed. Sometimes it helps people who, it's actually really great also for treating anxiety. So if somebody is like, I cannot go in social situations, what is that going to lead? That's going to lead to avoidance behaviors. That's going to feeling isolated. So trying to catch that pattern of figuring out what's behind that fear and how do I make something more adaptive for myself? Amanda, why don't you jump in and talk a little bit about EMDR?
Okay. Well, as she was mentioning, EMDR is called eye movement desensitization reprocessing. And this is like a very effective way to deal with trauma. A lot of the clients that I see that I do EMDR with have experienced very traumatic experiences in their past, such as abuse, molestation, rape, like, they have PTSD symptoms. And it's actually a very well used type of trauma used for like people who've experienced high levels of PTSD, like veterans, people who've been in the military, people who have basically experienced complex traumatic experiences in their life. And basically what happens with EMDR is that you use your eye movements. A therapist like me will lead you through a process of recalling some of your past traumatic events and then processing them in a session using your eye movements. One thing I love about this therapy, and I always tell like Muslims, the Muslim clients that I use it with, is like, it's kind of cool because it's not a lot of talking involved. It is actually, your body has a capability of healing itself from trauma. So I think it's kind of cool that Allah has like given our bodies the capabilities to be able to heal themselves from things through. It mimics the rapid eye movement of sleep. You know, we go into REM sleep. It mimics this type of this process that we do naturally when we sleep. You know, like actually when we sleep and we go into REM state, this is our body's way of kind of processing the things that have happened to you throughout the day and processing the big and the little things. But when you, people who are facing trauma or who've been experiencing like really traumatic events, oftentimes they don't sleep. They suffer from insomnia. They suffer from flashbacks, nightmares, and a lot of different like actual physical symptoms. So the fact that they're not sleeping and they're not getting into that good REM sleep kind of like gets them stuck it gets like stuck in the emotional parts of their brain. So it leads to distress, depression, anxiety, and all other kinds of symptoms that come along with trauma. So in this process of therapy that I do, we, while a person is awake, mimic the REM sleep in our session, and it actually has this amazing ability to help you process that trauma and relieves actual physical symptoms that you were experiencing from that past trauma.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so kind of like what Amanda talked about, like therapy is not a one size fits all. So I talked about CBT, right? So that helps with depression, anxiety, gold standard. Amanda talked a little bit about how EMDR helps with trauma. There's also other types of therapy like acceptance and commitment therapy, which is kind of helping the client. It's kind of like a second wave of CBT. It incorporates a little bit more mindfulness and getting people to understand what they have control over and what they have to accept and change in their life and kind of working through the dysfunctions. There's also psychodynamic or TLDP, time limited dynamic theory, which is like Hannah Levinson. A lot of people are like, ooh, Freud, that's kind of what you see about like old school when people are lying on the couch. That obviously doesn't happen anymore, but that's kind of like talking about past, like what's happened in your unconscious and reveals the way of how you've interacted with others. There's also for other patients who, again, have more personality issues, dialectical behavioral therapy that focuses a lot on emotion regulation and behaviors. And so it's really important to know that, do I need to know all these things when I'm seeking out a therapist? Not necessarily, but it's a good idea to know what is my presenting problem and know that not every therapy is going to look the same. Your brother may have a different therapy experiences than your sister, or your sister may have something different than your aunt or your friend. So it's important to note that there's different kinds. And so when you are looking for a therapist, you want to find someone that has experience working with your presenting problem. So I am not a huge trauma expert at this point of my career. So if I have a patient, I can refer them to Amanda, who knows EMDR, who knows more specifics about that. Like Amanda said, if there's somebody who's struggling with autism, I can know, oh, I can refer them to an autism clinic. So, but a lot of therapists do deal with the general presentations of depression, anxiety, grief, adjustments, stuff like that. But it's important to note that different presenting problems can look a little bit different in treatment. So that's just the point of knowing these theoretical orientations. It's just important for people to know that, hey, like therapy is not just me sitting there talking, it can look different.
Yeah, and I want to jump into that too, because I feel like there's a lot of misconception about therapy too with that. Like, I mean, as much as talk therapy, CBT, and all the different types of type therapy that go along with talk therapy is obviously proven very effective and can be very helpful. But if you're seeing a therapist and you're not averse to all the stuff that, I mean, is talking about, you don't know what's the difference between CBT and you don't have to know all the different types of therapy. What you might know as a person who's just in therapy is like, this is not working. That's what you just need to focus on. This is not working. Like, I'm seeing this therapist and she keeps telling me to do this and it's not working. Then that might be a time where you're like, okay, you might want to talk to a therapist, ask like, can we try a different method or something, because this is not working for me. Or it goes back into the good fit category. Like, as I was mentioned with EMDR, I have a lot of, I've worked with clients who have military experience, and there's actually confidential things they can't talk to me about. They're not allowed to, because of their rank in the military or whatever. They can't talk about some of the traumatic things that they've seen. Or, there's like codes of their ethics that they can't talk about. So that's why EMDR works perfectly, because we don't have to talk. Like, we can say, rather than talk about that traumatic event and all the little details that I might want to hear in another type of talk therapy, you can just be like, March 8th. And I just know you're talking about March 8th. You know what March 8th means in your brain. And so we can just use eye movement therapy. I also think it's important. There's other types of therapies as well, as like somatic therapy, where you do like body work. You know, therapy doesn't always have to look like me laying on a couch or sitting in front of a person and just talking. And I just feel Absolutely. Like a lot of people don't think that. I think a lot of people think, oh, like the idea of laying on the couch and a person with glasses is looking at you. And also certain types of therapy are, research is showing that certain types of therapies are more like work better with this culture or this race, or, you know, some things, there's limitations in everything. All the work we're discussing. So it's just really important to find a good fit. If a therapist is not, you feel like you're not getting anywhere or you're not comfortable with a therapist, don't be afraid to try another therapist. Just like you would do if you went to a doctor and you weren't vibing with your doctor, you wouldn't just be like, well, there goes my cancer. Who's going to have cancer because I don't like that doctor? No, you're going to be like, I'm going to get a second opinion. Or I'm going to go to another doctor because I don't like this type of therapy. So that's just kind of what I wanted to add to Amina's talk about various types of therapy and what is actually available out there for us.
So true. Those are all such good points, Amanda, and I'm so glad you brought them up because yes, therapy is a fit. It's not a one size fits all. I would really encourage that if somebody doesn't have a good first time experience, that's okay. You can see someone new or communicate with that therapist like, hey, this didn't work for me, because you are the person that's, you know, receiving the service. You are the person who has the say in your direction of treatment.
All right. Thank you. That was very informative. I've never heard of that form of therapy, Amanda, and that's very eye-opening. In closing, if Amanda, if you can talk a little bit about your private practice, and Amina, if you guys know of any other therapists and like how people can reach out to those therapists, we'll go ahead and close with that.
Okay. I currently work at Lambert Psychological Service, and it's a private practice. You can actually find me on Psychology Today, as she mentioned, and it will give you like direct link to me. I also work with Kentucky Counseling Center as a therapist there as well. So you can find me, you can actually go there and request me. That's a newer thing that I'm doing. So I'm really easily accessible. I'm all over the counseling world, I feel like now here in Louisville. I feel like I got a little bit frozen because I'm not sure what else. That's how you find me, Kentucky Counseling Center or Lambert Psychological Services or my practices. You can also find me on Facebook under Therapy with Amanda at Lambert Psychological Services.
Awesome.
Yeah, so you can't find me right now unless you're a Bellarmine student or a student at one of the Islamic schools, but you will be able to seek services with me starting in about August. I will either be going back to community mental health or I will be going to private practice. So I will definitely link up some of those. And yeah, so I did want to touch base for a couple seconds about this. You know, therapy is also very diverse in terms of cost. So a lot of times therapy is an investment and a very, very important investment, just like you want good access to healthcare and you want to pay for good healthcare. You know, it's the same thing with mental health when it comes to like that type of care. But, you know, there are plenty of different places that take sliding scale, which is basically essentially means a discounted price. There are some places that take insurance, some places are out of pocket. So there's a lot of different private practices that I can honestly send you, Hamza, and then, you know, whenever you post this, we can link them up there. So private practices vary in terms of self-payer insurance. Community mental health, which would basically be the Center for Behavioral Health at Spalding University, this, the Noble Kelly Clinic through Davidson Hall at U of L, the NIA Center, those are all much more affordable cares that would take sliding scale. And there's a lot of options in Louisville based on affordability. And I think a lot of people don't realize that. If you are a college student, you can go to someone for free through your college counseling center. And you know, I can help facilitate that if you need help getting in, because I understand there's wait lists, but there's a lot of options. So I'll be sure to link those and send them to you, Hamza.
Can I jump in one more thing? One topic I wanted to just quickly hit. Also, since we're speaking to the Muslim community here, I just also think it's really important, and I'm so glad you're doing this podcast, Hamza, to kind of break down the stigma around being a Muslim and going to therapists, because a lot of times people think like that if they have to go to therapy and it's something to do with like their iman being low or something to do with a defect in their faith. And I just really glad or hope that this podcast and the more we learn about mental health can kind of break down some of those barriers, because literally if you're suffering from a mental health disorder, just like if you were suffering from a physical disorder, you would go to a doctor. So don't hesitate to go to a therapist if you feel like you are suffering from something from a mental health disorder. A lot of times I actually have come across Muslims who who have been hesitant about therapy because they're just like, well, I'll just go pray, or I need to get stronger in my man. I need to, you know, my faith is weak. And especially since of emotional damage is like, not, we don't see it. It's like invisible, it's inside. So we think we should just be more patient with our situation, or we're just not doing something right. But if you're actually having a mental health disorder, mental health disorders literally can stop you physically. Like if you can't get out of bed, then you can't pray more. If you can't get out of bed because of depression, you're not going to do extra prayers, right? If you're overly, you know, feeling, if you're feeling like you have social anxiety to the point where you can't leave your home, then you're not going to get to the masjid and make any, make, you know, prayers with your, with the congregation. So it's just important to make sure that you're seeing a licensed therapist for mental health issues and not using maybe like our religious leaders are our religious leaders, and they can offer advice on a religious spectrum. But like, go to a therapist if you are having some mental health disorders. There's no stigma about it. It doesn't mean that you're a poor Muslim or a bad Muslim. Get help if you need it. That's what we're here for.
Absolutely. And with Ramadan coming up, if you have some eating disorder struggles, that can inhibit your ability to fast. So seeking someone out for that. Yes, totally seconding Amanda. There's absolutely no shame and guilt. We should not underestimate the power of Quran, dua, and prayer. But we can't just pray to get an A on a test and not put in the work. So seeking out a mental health therapist is putting in the worth to better yourself and having a much more healthy, prosperous life.
Yes, you can have a law and a therapist. Have a law and Quran and a therapist.
Yeah. All of it.
what you guys said is true. You know, we have professionals, we have specialists in all areas. There's a hadith that I'm remembering. Some of the people in Medina, they came to the Prophet asking him for advice on farming. So the Prophet's like, yeah, maybe do this. And then when they went to harvest, they had a bad, you know, harvest. And the Prophet said, look, I'm only, when it comes to the deen, I'm, come to me. Other things come to the people that are the professionals in that field.